Thank you so much. I'd like you to open your Bibles to James. As you know, we will be doing studies in the book of James because our Bible studies are doing James. And so we're just going to be tagging along behind the Bible studies so that the Bible studies and what we learn here will be kind of talking to each other. And in a way, I suppose you could call this part two of whatever we did last week. So that's what we're going to be doing this morning. James chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 1, where we read, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. And you remember last week, we saw that the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, he was using imagery to let them know that he knew exactly what they were going through. He wasn't talking to necessarily, they were Jewish Christians, but he wasn't referring only to the Jews and what they went through. We all are in a position of being scattered among the nations with all the challenges that go with that. So he was showing, I understand exactly where you are at this time. To James, from James to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. In other words, that perseverance must become endurance, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Those who doubt should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. They are double-minded and unstable in all they do. Verse 12. Blessed are those who persevere under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted. Now I'm going to show you a little bit later that the word for trial and tempt is exactly the same word. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one of you is tempted when you are dragged away by your own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. What do we want to hear? What do we want to hear? And I kind of intimated last week that what we would like to hear is that there is a way for us to avoid pain and hardship. We want to hear that. And I can relate to that. If I can, I want to avoid pain. But I know that it is unlikely that we are always going to be able to avoid pain. And yet, it is easy to be drawn to teaching where you hear somebody standing up here and preaching a sermon that says we can avoid it if we just do certain things. It's easy to be drawn to that kind of teaching, and I know that I have been in the past. But I know that life doesn't work like that, not only because I have lived long enough to know that life doesn't work like that, but also because I have the teaching of the Bible to guide my thinking. And so I spoke last week about these challenges which we face, and the Bible calls them trials. And as we saw last week, these trials we face are many and varied, many different kinds of trials. Now, while I couldn't tell you that we as Christians won't face trials, what I could tell you was this. In God's economy, God uses the trials we face so that the pain and suffering is not wasted. It serves a purpose, and James clearly spelt that out. We face a trial. And as we face the trial, we develop perseverance. And as we continue to persevere, we develop endurance. And that ultimately leads to maturity. It develops us to a point where we are mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that, of course, is a great place to be. Because when we have reached that place, it allows us to enjoy life on a new level. Nothing's happening. Yeah, I'm busy pressing buttons and wondering why you aren't going ooh and ah at my amazing pictures. I thought Nigel's having a charismatic experience at the back there. Have you pressed the button? Well, then there's nothing I can do. Because it ought to be working. It was working before the service. Yeah, that's a good 3 hours wasted, you know. Hey? It's a trial. It's a trial I'm facing. Thank you. Except it's, you'll see the way the trial can go a little bit later in the sermon, and that's what it's doing to me right now. It's not doing all these good stuff to me. It's no computer input. Ah, it just needs a man. As I said to somebody earlier this morning, that's why they pay me the bucks. I think I should go back and show you the other pictures, man. Anyway, that's what I'm saying about this new level of enjoyment that we have, that we can enjoy. And that was the picture that I chose for that. And now I've jumped ahead of the pack, and now I don't know where I am at all. No matter where I am. Let's see if I can pick up. First trials, many and varied. We've had that. Trials we face are many and varied. God uses the trials. We've done that. We've done that. We've done that. We've done that. Except now I don't know where I am in my notes. And of course, it's a great place to be. Ah, it enjoys, allows us to enjoy life at a new level. Okay, now you can see that picture, which you couldn't see before, but which I thought was quite cute because it showed exactly this new level of enjoyment that we have in our lives. It allows us to enjoy. When we've reached this place of maturity, not lacking anything, it allows us to enjoy life on a new level. It allows us to live life without fear. It allows us to live life with a new confidence. We can look back, and while we didn't enjoy the hardship, who does enjoy hardship? Yet we are now living with the benefits. And so yes, we would prefer to know that we can avoid pain, but if that isn't possible, then we at least want to know that there is some tangible benefit from what we have gone through to be enjoyed in the here and now. And I guess that is partly why so many people were appreciative of last week's message, because some of us are going through trials at the moment, and we are encouraged to know that they are under the control of Almighty God, and they are not wasted. They are not just random things that are wasted. God is using them to accomplish something good. And this brings us to verse 12. Blessed are those who persevere under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised those who love him. And as you read that verse, you see straight away that this verse is about some of the same things. It is about trials and persevering and enduring. But you can also see that there's something more going on with this verse. That the end product is about more than being mature and complete, not lacking anything. The end product is about something eternal. There are some things which we are going to enjoy better than anything when we get to be with the Lord one day. It's as though the Lord is taking all these trials that we go through. He's gathering them up. And in the end, he's going to exchange them for the crown of life. We are not told precisely what the crown of life means, but we can be sure that it will be worth it. John Eldridge says that we cannot desire something that we cannot imagine. And we need to start imagining what it's going to be like to get that crown of life when we're with the Lord in this world, which is now perfect as God originally created it. When we can imagine that, how amazing it's going to be, we can start desiring it and stop thinking, yeah, 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 an endless church service one day, and that's boring. No, it's not going to be an endless church service. It's going to be living a meaningful life in the presence of God. And he gives us the crown of life. It's something to look forward to. we can be sure it will be worth it. Trials are tests to prove that we can. Trials, they are tests to refine our faith. Trials, they are tests to produce perseverance, endurance, and completeness. Trials, one day they're going to be exchanged for a crown of life. Trials, sadly, they don't always originate outside of us. Sometimes these trials kind of sneak in through the back door, and those are the dangerous ones. When it is persecution or bereavement or illness or economic hardship, well, it is there. We can see it. We can almost kind of handle it. We know exactly what we are dealing with. But what happens when the trial comes in the form of a thought? What happens when the trial is something that we see that is enticing? What happens when it comes in the form of something we want badly but cannot have? In other words, what happens when we are faced with an inner enticement to sin? Like what David faced. He should have been out there leading his men, but instead he was at home and he catches sight of Bathsheba bathing. He wants her. He uses his power as king. And then he multiplies his sin in order to cover up what he has done. It started innocently. David didn't go out onto his balcony because he was hoping to see Bathsheba. He went out to get air. And he looks and he catches sight of Bathsheba and it sneaks in through the back door. Or like what Ananias and Sapphira faced. Acts chapter 5, they're not devious people. They saw the others selling their property. They saw them giving the proceeds of the sales to relieve the plight of the poor. They decided that they would do the same thing. And then from out of nowhere comes this thought. Let's be generous, but not as generous as they think we are being. And we can get the kudos for being generous and we can keep money. Didn't plan to do that. Snuck in. These are thoughts. They come to us. What will we do with them? Mostly we are not looking for mischief. Finds us anyway, or so it seems. They seem to sneak in and we wonder, where did that come from? I wasn't looking for it. Welcome to the world of temptation. And if you were reading this in Greek, you would see the word for temptation is exactly the same word as is used for trial. It's just translated differently because these are kind of two different things, even though essentially they are the same. Well, how does a trial become a temptation? It's all in the way we respond to it. In every trial or every test we face, we have a choice. Are we going to persevere or are we going to take the easy road? Are we going to slip back? And it's when we choose not to persevere that a trial becomes a temptation. That means that every time we face a trial, we have to make a decision. Are we going to persevere or are we going to take the easy way out? Now here's the next question. Where does that little voice of temptation come from? Let's answer that question by going back to the Garden of Eden. Remember the conversation that God had with the man after he'd eaten the fruit? Why did you eat the fruit? God asks. The woman, the one you gave me, she made me eat it. And so God turns to the woman and says, what have you done? And the woman blames the serpent. And as they say, the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. So ultimately, using very different means, the devil is behind the temptation. The devil himself is wanting the trials, whose aim it is to strengthen us. He wants them to become temptations that weaken us. And he does not want to see this trial strengthen and refine us. He doesn't want us to come to maturity where we live this new quality of life. And so he aims to weaken our resolve in the trials that we face. And James wants to make this whole thing clear. And so he says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does he tempt anyone with evil. God is never in any way responsible for temptation. Yes, God does allow trials into our lives. God allows us to be tested because the only way we're going to end up coming mature, complete, not lacking anything, is to be strengthened through trials. We go to gym and we put our muscle under trial and it becomes strong and we don't query that. But it also works exactly the same way in the spiritual realm. We have to be tested in order to become strong. So God does allow appropriate trials into our lives. But the fact that trials become temptations, that isn't God's doing. As we read, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does he tempt anyone. What then are the dynamics? But each one of you is tempted when you are dragged away by your own evil desire and enticed. Obviously, behind it all is our arch enemy. But there are times, quite frankly, when he doesn't need too much encouragement, when we don't need too much encouragement because we manage to sin all up ourselves. The temptation comes, it finds a resonance within us, and we are dragged away by our own evil desire and enticed. And then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And if we've been concentrating, we've noticed here a second sequence of events. Remember the first one? The trial. And as we face the trial, we decide to persevere. And as we persevere, endurance develops. And from endurance comes the maturity. Now we see an evil imitation of that sequence. We see temptation, we see desire, we see sin, and we see death. We yield to the trial, and it becomes a temptation, and we start looking at this thing, and we desire what we see, even though we know it's a wrong desire. And it's that desire that drags us away until we sin. The word used for sin is this: to miss the mark, to fall short. God wants something for us. We miss the mark. And that leads to death. And death is the evil imitation of maturity. We do not reach wholeness. We do not reach what we spoke about last week, functional perfection. We do not reach that place where we are adequate for the many trials that we face. We never reach that point. Death is the evil imitation of the maturity that God has in mind for us. And I want to say, friends, this will always be our life's experience. Trials are God's way to bring us to maturity. And so we will always be facing trials, many and varied. But remember this, the trial does not have intrinsic power. But with each trial, we have to make the choice. Do we persevere, which gives endurance and ultimately leads to wholeness? Or will that trial become a temptation as we allow desire to well up inside of us, as we allow it to entice us, which inevitably leads us to sin? And sin has its own fruit, death. Death being the evil twin of the maturity that God longs for us. That's what I'm saying. Find support in the Bible. Are trials an inevitable part of our road? Well, let's go back to that event at which we have already looked, the Garden of Eden. There we were, created perfectly. We were put into a perfect environment. We enjoyed perfect fellowship with one another. We enjoyed perfect worship of God. But there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right in that perfection was a trial, a test. It was an opportunity for the man and woman to prove their love for God. It was an opportunity for them to continue to choose to love and obey God. It was never meant to tempt the man and the woman. But for a choice to be real, there needs to be real choice. Hence the tree. They exercised their choice. And the test proved. A test to prove their love and obedience became a temptation and they failed. Yeah, we have another example in Israel. There they were at Mount Sinai. God presents the challenge to them. You can be my people. I will be your God. I will look after you. I want you to obey me. The people said, we will. And God says, I will take you to the promised land. I will give you the promised land. You are my people. And they set out from Mount Sinai. They march for 11 days. In 11 days, they get to the border of the promised land. Go and spy out the land, God instructs. Bring back something which proves how wonderful the land is. And they did bring back proof of just how wonderful the land was. But they brought back something else. They brought back reports of the size of the opposition. A trial. A test. An opportunity for them to demonstrate, Lord, we trust you nevertheless. It was never meant to be a temptation to Israel. It became one. And they chose not to trust God. And an 11-day journey became 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. We've all learned the story of Solomon. He was the king who followed David. And God spoke to Solomon and said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon asked for wisdom. He knew it would be challenging to run the kingdom. God gave him wisdom. But we read that God also gave him wealth and honor. And each day became a test for Solomon. Would he use his wealth and honor with the wisdom God had given him? Or would he use it foolishly? It was meant to be a trial, a test to strengthen him. And the record shows it became a temptation and Solomon failed the test. One more. Matthew and Luke record what are known as the temptations of Jesus. And as we read that text, it leaves us in no doubt as to who was behind the temptations. The devil himself confronted Jesus. Of course, we know the devil could only act within the permission of God, but God allowed it. God allowed Jesus to be tested. And in his humanity, Jesus could have been tempted rather than tested. But the record shows Jesus overcame. Jesus chose not to be dragged away by evil desire and enticed. And so in Jesus, we have modeled for us the possibility of victory. We have modeled for us the possibility that we can choose to be strengthened by the test, not dragged away. Let me reiterate, life will be a series of trials or tests. But they will always be under God's control. The aim will always be to bring us to the place where we are mature, complete, not lacking anything. But the risk will also be there that we will be tempted when we are dragged away by our own evil desire and enticed. Horatio Spafford's life could be compared with Job's, a series of trials which could have become temptations to sin. As with Job, it began in 1870 when the only son died from scarlet fever at the age of 4. Spafford invested in real estate north of this ever-expanding Chicago during 1871. The Great Fire of Chicago reduced Spafford's investment to ashes. During 1873, Spafford decided to take his wife to Europe for a holiday. He was delayed because of business, sent his wife and 4 girls ahead. On November the 22nd, 1873, while crossing the Atlantic on the steamship Ville du Havre, the ship was struck by another vessel. 226 people lost their lives, including all 4 of Spafford's daughters. When she arrived in England, his wife Anna sent a telegram beginning, "Saved alone." Spafford then sailed to England, going over the location of his daughter's deaths. And according to Bertha Spafford Vester, Spafford's daughter, born after the tragedy, Spafford wrote that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Trial or temptation? Trial or temptation? That is the nature of life. Not all of them will be as hectic as the one Spafford or Job faced, but everyone is essentially the same. Will a trial meant to strengthen us? Will a trial that God wants to use to strengthen us? Will it become a temptation? Jesus allows them in our lives because he has something in mind for us. Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life, more and better life than you ever dreamed possible." It's what Jesus wants for us. It's where he's taking us. He wants to take us to that place where we are mature and complete, not lacking anything. And Jesus will never allow us to be tempted beyond what we can endure. Neither will he allow what is unnecessary into our lives. Listen, no testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with the testing will also provide a way so that you may be able to endure it. That's his promise. We can. Otherwise, our Father would not have allowed it. And so my plea to you this morning, I guess, is this: hang in there. Because when we have passed through it, we will look back and say, "I really didn't enjoy that. But being in this place, yeah, it was worth it. The Lord knew what he was doing." Let's have some time of silence. Heavenly Father, there's probably none of us here who haven't somehow experienced these kinds of things in one form or another, where we know that this is how it is, Lord, that we face these tests, some of them big, some of them just small. And we know, Lord, that with each one comes the choice: is it going to become something which drags us into sin, or is it going to be something that is going to be useful to mature us? Lord, we've had events in our lives which have come upon us, and Lord, the way we have confronted them and handled them has either strengthened us or knocked us back. Lord, you have promised that you will not lead us to a place where your grace will not sustain us. And we thank you for that. Thank you for a biblical character like Job, who we know went through stuff that we will never go through, and yet he refused to sin. And Lord, we have someone like Horatio Spafford, who himself is an example to us. Lord, we can, because you are with us and helping us. Help us to, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Let's stand together.
When peace like a river, peace like a river attends my way. When sorrows like rain.
Sorry, we've got to start that again.
Sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet and trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall ascend. Even so,
it
is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It